You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Frankie Barnhill, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. As much as we all want the COVID-19 pandemic to be over, it is still affecting Idaho. In fact, we're seeing a disturbing increase in new cases, raising questions about how to get people who have not yet received the vaccine to trust the science and get protected. Here on Idaho Matters, we're trying to answer your questions with facts as the coronavirus changes. Here to help us with this once again is Dr. David Pate. He's the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Thanks for joining us again, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Frankie. Glad to be with you.
Yes. Well, of course, the big headline is the Delta variant continues to be the Delta variant. And first off, I just want to get your perspective on a move that was made last night following a special board meeting of the Boise School District. The board voted and announced that it is updating its fall 2021 COVID-19 response. All students and staff will be required to wear face masks while indoors, as well at any event where physical distancing really just isn't practical. What is your take on this move? Do you think it goes far enough to protect kids age 12 and younger who can't yet get the vaccine?
Yeah, well, Frankie, it's a good question. And, you know, I think I was very proud of the Boise school board last night. You know, first of all, I've listened to a lot of board meetings. Few of them have been very clear about how they're making decisions, how they get to their decisions. And last night's meeting, I thought, was one of the best run, clearest meetings about what factors were the board members considering and how did they come to their decision. Now, obviously, not everybody's going to be happy with that decision, but I do applaud them for being clear and being transparent, which we just haven't seen a lot of from school boards in the past. I think it's an important step that they took because, as you were pointing out, you know, we are dealing with the Delta variant. And I think people would be making a big mistake to think that what is going to happen with Delta is what we experienced last year. It will not be. And we're already seeing that in that there are schools around the country that already opened in the previous week or previous 2 weeks. And what we've seen is strikingly large outbreaks at these schools. And it in a manner that we didn't see last year. And in fact, one high school reported in southern Mississippi reported that just in their one school, they had five separate outbreaks in 1 week. One school had only opened for half the students on Thursday of last week and half the students on Friday, and they already have a big outbreak. And so I understand everybody's ready, as you said, to get past this, to throw away masks and all, but we're not there and we're not going to be there for some time. And it would be foolish to bring back students without masks in that setting when you're dealing with people who are not vaccinated and a far more contagious virus. I think what, you know, I've talked to a number of school leaders and board members, and the point that I make to them is, what would you do if you had a child sitting in one of your classes with chickenpox? And of course, we know what they would do because we've been doing this for decades. You would get that child out of the classroom, away from other students as soon as you could, call the parents, have them take the child home, because that's a very infectious virus.
Right.
Well, Delta is now, it looks like, as infectious as is chickenpox. So if we wouldn't let kids sit there with chickenpox, we shouldn't just ignore this and say students can get as close as they want and they don't have to wear masks. We need to protect them.
Right. And it's interesting that you pointed out, you said Mississippi was where those outbreaks were. Of course, Mississippi also has a similarly low vaccination rate as it relates to nationwide numbers. I think, I'm not sure if it's lower than where Idaho is right now, 18, and folks who are 18 and older in Idaho account for about 50% of Idahoans age 18 and older, to be precise, are fully vaccinated. So that Mississippi case is kind of an interesting one to look to. Are you talking with other or hearing from other districts or following other districts in the state who are either considering a similar move of requiring masks or that you're concerned about may not?
Yeah, I am. I'm certainly worried about what West 8 is going to do. Certainly what I'm hearing is that the superintendent, and I don't know if this is correct, but what I'm hearing is the superintendent plans to allow each school to make their own decision. And, you know, I think that it just doesn't make sense. I mean, we have every public health authority that you can think of, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the American Academy of Pediatrics, Central District Health, Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. I mean, we're all saying the same thing. And when you have all this guidance and so much more clarity on what our risks are, and we're seeing those play out in other states, because even though I mentioned Mississippi, I mean, there's been outbreaks in California, Georgia, Arizona, many other states. So I don't want to give anybody the impression it's just Mississippi. We're seeing these all over the country. And I think to say that each school should just do this on their own is really just not taking accountability. If we had, again, let's use chickenpox. If we had a big outbreak of chickenpox across the Treasure Valley, I can't imagine that school boards or school superintendents would be saying, well, each school, you figure out what you want to do. No, we know what to do. And so I am concerned that West Ada may do something foolish. But look, it won't take long to find out, because what's going to happen is people right now are trying to please the parents that don't want their kids in masks. I get it. But you have to understand, if you do, then you are likely to either have big outbreaks and send everybody remote, or you're likely to have lots of kids in quarantine. A lot of these schools outbreaks that I'm talking about that have happened in other states, they have more than 100 kids in quarantine. And this is just during after the first week of school. Let me tell you, those parents that are pounding their fists and they want schools open without masks, they are not going to come and defend the board members and the school leaders when their kids are either home in remote or in quarantine the very next week. Those parents in other states are now mad at the school officials because their kids are going to be in quarantine longer than they've already been in school. So it's very short-sighted.
And I also want to talk, so we're talking about school-aged children. I want to talk a little bit about folks who are kids who are 4 years and younger, including infants. We heard yesterday from Dr. Catherine Turner. She's the deputy state epidemiologist. And she said that the population 4 years and younger, including babies, that group, the cases among that, the case rate there, has increased about 200% in the last 2 weeks. How concerned should we be about this particular age group? And then how should their families protect them? What behaviors that they thought they could do if they're vaccinated, let's say, if their immediate family is vaccinated, what should they do now with this new information about Delta?
Yeah, Frankie, this is an important point, because I think people are still thinking about COVID in terms of what happened last year. And it was true. Last year, very few kids got infected. And of those that got infected, they didn't seem to be very efficient at transmitting the virus. What is different now is that we are seeing, just as you pointed out, many more kids infected. And in fact, even younger than what we typically saw last year. But the thing that is particularly concerning, and I don't think too many school boards are thinking about, is while it still remains true that, to the best of our knowledge, most of these children who get infected will recover from COVID and recover uneventfully. Now, that is not true of all children, I should point out. But what they're not considering is last year, when we looked at the secondary attack rates in families, what I'm talking about, Frankie, is if you get infected and you go home, what percent of the people in your household, husband, children, maybe you have a mom or dad staying with you, what percent of them get infected? Last year, it was 17%. Now with Delta, it's 53%, three times higher. And we also have heard from some other countries that they're actually seeing even higher secondary attack rates. So the point being is, if you look at the parents' ages of school-aged children, we're going to be talking about people in their 30s and 40s. If you look at their vaccination rates in Idaho, that fully vaccinated, because one shot is not going to do this. So I look at fully vaccinated, it's far less than 50%. What that's going to mean is that those kids are going to get sick in school, they're going to take it home, they're going to infect their parents, and their parents are going to be in our hospital beds and ICU beds. If you talk to the hospitals right now here in Idaho, but also across the country, what they're seeing is patients in their 20s, 30s, and 40s in their ICU that aren't vaccinated. That's our big risk. So these schools that act irresponsibly, what they are going to do is they're going to overwhelm our hospitals, because our hospitals, school hadn't even started and our hospitals are quite full, but also they're going to be promoting the continued transmission of this virus, which we said a year ago, we have got to slow the transmission because that's how these variants are forming. And so Delta won't be our last variant. These schools that don't take precautions are going to drive much more transmission and thereby increase the risk for more worrisome variants.
I do want to take a minute before we take a break and just think about and talk for a moment about folks, that 50% of 18 and plus population who are not vaccinated. We know that there's a lot of different reasons why folks in that 50% have not taken the vaccine, have not gotten the jab. I know earlier this week that you tweeted that you are there to talk with anyone who has questions. What are you hearing from people right now about their concerns? And have you been able to help them think through this decision?
Yeah, Frankie, I have I have persuaded about 30 people that I've talked to so far to get vaccinated that I know of, because I ask them to get back to me, let me know what they decided, what they did. I've had about 30 people let me know they have gotten vaccinated. There may be more that just haven't got back to me, but I have been able to persuade quite a few. I would tell you the concerns are all over the board. And I think that when we try to generalize, we're really missing the boat here. And this is why we can't just do a catchy ad. I don't have any objections to doing advertising and so forth, but we really have to have these kind of conversations, whether it's through social media that I've done. I've also done Zoom calls with parents. I've done a lot of different ways, but you really have to find out what is their particular reason. And it's all over the board. Some people think they've got more time to make the decision. Some people are concerned that, maybe there are going to be bad side effects. Some people are questioning how well they work. There's all kinds of things. What I have noticed lately is there's a lot of hesitancy. We've talked before about hesitancy in young people, hesitancy in some of the minorities and underserved. But what I'm seeing lately is there is a big hesitancy in the evangelical community. And I think there is a lot of misinformation being spread to them. I have had many misinterpreting the Bible because they think that for some reason that would preclude it. So actually, I'm finding myself having to have quite a few discussions with people about religious considerations for this. So it's all over the board, frankly.
Wow. Well, congratulations on helping some people make that decision. And thank you, of course, for always answering our listener questions around this. And we're going to get to our listener questions here in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Frankie Barnhill. You're listening to Idaho Matters. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Frankie Barnhill here with Dr. David Pate. We're going to get right into answering some of your questions about COVID-19, the Delta variant, the vaccine. Dr. Pate, if you could take this first question from Ellen. She asked, can an individual who has been vaccinated still test negative if they picked up the Delta variant? So I guess kind of a question also just about testing accuracy with the Delta variant.
Yes, they can. It depends on, it depends on the timing.
Okay.
So what the studies have shown us so far is that last year, the time between when you were infected and the time your test became positive was 6 days. With Delta, it's now 4 days. So you get positive sooner. However, if I exposed somebody today and they got tested negative, they might be infected, but they would test negative. So in that first 3 days or so, yes, they could test negative. Excuse me, I'm choking here a little bit.
Yeah.
The other thing that can happen is that what we've seen is while people that are vaccinated who get infected have just as high levels of virus as people that were unvaccinated got infected, the vaccinated people clear the virus much quicker. So that if somebody got sick, let's say that they got sick, Thursday or Friday of this week, they then decided to go get tested Monday, they might be negative by that point, even though they really have Delta.
Okay. That's helpful. And Brian has this question. According to the CDC website, there are exactly 2 children aged 12 to 17 that have received 1 dose of vaccine in my county. I'm not sure which county it is. Neither of them have received a second dose. I work in a high school, and even though I'm fully vaccinated and wear a mask whenever I'm away from home, I'm worried about becoming a breakthrough case due to being exposed too many times to the Delta variant because everyone else around me has returned to life as normal. I will then bring it home with me and infect my infant son. Is my worry misplaced? If not, what can I do in order to reduce the chances of me bringing this disease home with me? Working remotely or quitting is not an option. What do you think about Brian's question, Dr. Pate?
Yeah, it's a concern. If you are fully vaccinated, but you have people in your home who have either chosen not to be vaccinated, cannot be vaccinated because they're not old enough, or were vaccinated, but they have maybe an immune deficiency, so where they wouldn't have the full protection, you still have to be concerned that you could be exposed to Delta. And because you're vaccinated, you actually may not realize you're infected because the vaccine protects you from getting very sick. So what might happen is you're vaccinated, you get exposed, you're carrying the virus. And as I just said, at the very beginning of infection, people that are vaccinated and unvaccinated have similarly very high viral levels. So that is a concern that those people, if they're put in a lot of high risk situations where they might very well have exposures, then might come home and inadvertently infect family members. So that is why I'm very supportive of decisions like the Boise School District made, where when you're in indoor settings, and even outdoor if it's really crowded, if you're going to be very, very close to each other, but indoor settings, everyone should wear a mask, including those that are vaccinated, when we have this much Delta transmitting this much. You just have to understand that your risks are going to be elevated for something like that happening.
Okay. And let's see, Anne, she emailed us this question. I think a pretty straightforward one, but still would love to hear your take. We are in our 70s and fully vaccinated. How risky would it be to swim in an indoor motel pool?
Well, swimming is not a high-risk activity. Swimming is ordinarily a very safe activity from the standpoint of COVID. And of course, given the fact that they are vaccinated, that will be even more protection. I think the only thing that I would be concerned about is if that pool was very crowded, and if that pool was, if there were a lot of people that either you knew were not vaccinated because like they're young kids, or that they're people that you don't know, and so you have no idea, that might be a concern. But ordinarily, being at a pool, that's going to be very low risk.
Okay. Here's one question about testing accuracy specifically. I saw Albertson sells a home test kit. I think that's been on the market for a little while. Do we know how accurate these are?
Yeah, the test that Albertson sells is a pretty good test. So it's fairly accurate. None of these tests are perfect, but it's pretty accurate. And although I should mention that I don't think it's been tested with Delta. I think it, because it's been around for a while, it was tested with other variants. I don't have any reason to believe it's going to be less accurate with Delta. In fact, I could probably make an argument where probably it's going to be more accurate with Delta, but we don't exactly know. I don't think the big challenge there is with the accuracy. I think the thing is, you know, at least from what I've seen, I think they've had a state grant. And while they've had state grant funds, those tests have been free. I don't know if that money has run out now, but when it runs out, my understanding is that test is going to cost about $140. I think that's going to be cost prohibitive for a lot of people. I think the other thing is that they're saying it's like a 3-day turnaround, and that's a long time right now. Certainly last year we had times when we were way backed up and that would have been short, but today there's really not too much reason why you shouldn't be able to get tested and have a result the same day or next day. And frankly, you can do it for free. So I just don't know that I would choose that test, but there's nothing wrong with that test.
Okay. And this question is, definitely an interesting one about, I guess, COVID long haul symptoms. The question is, I'm curious if anyone has thought about whether COVID vaccine could help an unvaccinated person who has previously been infected, since I'm hearing reports on the news that apparently people with long COVID have a reduction of symptoms with the vaccine.
Yes, we definitely have thought of that. In fact, clinical trials are underway on that. That has been a frequent observation that people with long COVID, many seem to report a significant improvement in their symptoms after getting vaccinated. I think what we want to look at with these trials is, you know, what percent of those people get better? Because we've certainly gotten a lot of reports that people do report that. And then second, how long does it last? Does it just temporarily make them better? Or does that really kind of get them over this hump and back to normal? But two other points. One is, we recommend everyone, whether you have long COVID or not, if you previously had COVID, you should get vaccinated. We have certainly a lot of evidence that suggests the immune protection from vaccination is much better than from natural immunity. And we're not certain that natural immunity is going to be very responsive to these newly developing variants. So we do recommend everyone, after they recover from COVID, get vaccinated. The other point I would make, because some people have a misunderstanding about this, is that we cannot vaccinate you when you become ill with COVID. It's too late, and we wouldn't normally vaccinate at that time anyway.
Okay. Well, that's a good note to end on. Dr. David Peet, always so great to talk with you. Thank you so much once again for answering our questions about COVID-19. I'm Frankie Barnhill. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Stay with us.